Speak on It episode. I don't remember. We're going to call this the Liz Davis Be Christian But Be Careful episode. And I say this, let's jump right into it. Liz Davis, white woman out of Kentucky, says she refuses as a county clerk, an elected official, to sign marriage certificates for same-sex couples. And based on this, we've got hella black people coming out of the woodwork saying should they support her as a Christian. And that's fine. That's okay. You can support her. And I'm going to go ahead and say this before we even get started. I do not support people being mean to this woman. I do not support people like wanting to punish her for what she chooses to do. I'm not really feeling that, man, to be honest with you, because I don't think that her as a white woman who is a Christian, who is, you know, quote unquote, a bigot, I don't think that's the best way to teach her. That being said, black people who support her as a Christian, as a black Christian, be Christian, but be careful. Because I'm saying that same doctrine that they use to support their views on same sex is the same doctrine they use to oppress us as black people. Treating us as three-fifths of a human being. Treating us as a slave. That same doctrine that they use also says so many scriptures that says respect the law of the land. Because that's one thing that my grandmother used to tell me. When I used to jaywalk and do a little stuff like that, she'd be like, you know, grandson, that the Bible says, respect the law of the land. And I looked that stuff up. It does. It says, respect the laws of the land. There's several scriptures that talk about that. That says, respect man-made laws. And I always would come back with my grandma, and she used to hate it. I said, yeah, I'll respect that law. But you know, the law also said that we were three-fifths of a human being. And the law also said that we should use separate facilities. And the law also said that there's Jim Crow, that there's separate but equal, or whatever they wanted to call it. The law also said that we should be slaves. And grandma, who was a black native, used to get silent. So I say, be Christian, but be careful. Speak on the radio. Wayman Earls.
What's up? What's up, y'all?
Kameko Thomas.
Greetings.
So where are we going with this whole Liz Davis thing? How y'all feel up? Ladies first.
I think her name is Kim Davis.
Oh, my fault. Kim.
Yeah.
Kim Davis.
But you know what? Okay, on the one hand, and I said this earlier, her personal views about, you know, gay marriage, she has the right to them. And maybe I'm getting a little trouble for saying this, but if she, quote unquote, felt that this was a matter of conscience, then I suppose she did the only thing that she felt that she could do in that moment. That being said, you're, as an elected official, you're not operating from the position of an individual with a personal view on an issue. You're operating from someone who was elected to do a job, and you don't really get to cherry pick who you get to serve when you are in an office. Now, okay, ideally you can say that. Of course, we know that with politics being what it is, that the people who have the most money are the ones whose agendas are going to get the most attention. So there's that. But overall, I understand how she feels about it personally, and on a personal level, I think she has every right to say what she says and feel how she feels about the situation. But to filter that into a position in which all taxpaying citizens, irrespective of, you know, race, gender, sexual orientation, she serves all of these people. So for that reason, no, she doesn't have the right to deny that, because the law is, however you feel about it, the law is the law.
Here's my thing. Getting away from, you know, her personal views regarding same-sex marriages, homosexuality, etc. I'm looking at this from how a lot of black people are piggybacking, you know, her statements with regards to, you know, the Bible this, the Bible that, and, you know, why they're latching on to her statements because it's wrong, the Bible. Well, here's my take on it. You have to understand that if you're following a doctrine that was at one time used to remove your humanity, that's a problem. It's a real problem when you're looking at a doctrine that said, that came from a man who said, you are both authorized, Spain and Portugal, to, you are both authorized to, and now I'm forgetting what I was about to say.
Basically, the slave trade was ordained by individuals who practiced that same Christian doctrine that Kim Davis is using to justify her refusal to sign marriage certificates for gays.
Yeah, I remember my point now. You are both authorized, Spain and Portugal, to reduce to servitude all infidel peoples. Basically, with the revised religion, based on the precedent set by the Nicene Conference in 325 AD, where Constantine basically had his people rewrite Christianity to suit the Byzantine Empire. So now, centuries later, the Pope, who was the leading arbitrator of that time and the one person in all of Europe with the highest authority, basically said to Spain and Portugal, who were fighting over which part of Africa they wanted to exploit for themselves, okay, you take the West, you take the East, and you two good Catholic nations, please stop fighting amongst yourselves. And then that profound statement before departure, you are both authorized to reduce to servitude all infidel peoples. The European had just been told that he need not feel guilty about embarking upon this endeavor, because you're doing it to an infidel who is outside of God's grace. This is the foundation upon which modern Christianity was built. It was this same doctrine, this same manifesto, if you will, that black people were, you know, forced to adopt during our time of physical enslavement. So if you're following this and you're piggybacking Kim Davis, I have to really question your grasp of the religion that you serve.
Well, it's not so much that it's a grasp. It is programming. It is a blind allegiance to accepting whatever it is people have been told the Bible says. Because, as an example, I grew up in Louisiana, you know, Bible Belt. And everything always filtered down to what was in the Bible and what Jesus did, not even understanding the letter J. Back then, there was no letter J. So who in the hell is this Jesus person that you're talking about? Because he didn't even exist, number one. Number two, Yeshua was not a Christian. So you're speaking of patterning your lives after a man who did not even practice this religion that you're going to fall on your sword on, a religious doctrine that still says, because the Constitution still says that we're 3/5 of all other persons. There's not been an amendment written to correct that language. And no, the 14th Amendment does not address that. We talk about that all day long. The 14th Amendment does not address that. So you are blindly following a doctrine that says that you are subhuman. You are property. That is all you're good for, and that's all you will ever be. And without understanding that these two things are connected, you're going to now say, as a Christian, I support this woman's right to oppress another group of people, not in the way that we've been oppressed. Now, let's get that straight. I'm no way saying that these two things are alike. But you're basically saying that as an oppressed group, and that's really what it's about. Since I know what it's like to be oppressed, I'm not going to be down for a woman who's oppressing another group of people. Well, you know, that's where it kind of, you know, the waters get a little murky, because these two things are not the same. Because for the most part, you're not going to be able to look at an individual and ascertain his sexuality or sexual preferences. But if I'm walking down the street, you will know that I am black, and you will know that I'm a woman, and you will behave accordingly to whatever you have been programmed to believe about me as a black and as a woman.
I think that's the real thing. That's the sin. I don't know why people aren't looking at that. When you talk about Ken Davis, refusing to sign a marriage license for same sex. Why isn't the same? Why is the sin looked at upon as what really marriage was invented to do? And that was to treat people like property. So there's a property piece. There's a piece that comes in where it was to subjugate women to a piece of property. Historically, that is what marriage is supposed to do, is to subjugate a woman to property. So when you're signing a marriage certificate, even when it's same sex, it's still saying one person is property to another. That's why there's so much exchange of resources and currency when people get divorced when it comes to marriage, because it's property.
It's about the distribution.
It's about property. Marriage has never been about religion. It's never been about the relationship between God and people. It's been about property, a dowry. It's just a sophisticated way to present a dowry.
Just modernized.
Well, I mean, Logic, you hit on a very good point. Because a lot of people get the relationship that is marriage mixed up with the ceremony. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, if marriage is truly, because you have to think about it, during the times of the Bible, you didn't have someone signing a marriage license. You had two people who basically agreed that they were going to be together, and that was it. So now you're fast forwarding to the 21st century. Now all of a sudden you're saying that my relationship to you is somehow invalid, not because we're invalidating our relationship, but because someone who doesn't have anything to do with our relationship is saying that according to him, our union is invalid. Well, why are you giving that individual that kind of power? If the two of you have made this decision together, that this is what being together looks like for you, then that is a marriage, because a marriage is supposed to be a spiritual union anyway. So if my spirit is connecting to your spirit in a way that says we need to be joined together for the rest of our lives, then I have no interest in signing a certificate. I don't need a ceremony. I don't need a ring on my finger. I just need to know that you are going to keep your word as someone who says that he wants to be with me.
It's very interesting. Logic, I want to piggyback on something, because you brought up law when you first introduced the segment. It's very interesting because you and I have both been to the continent of Africa, okay? What I found, and tell me if you agree with this, was that our people originally are very literal people. We are literal people in that there's no need for a doctrine or a law, because it was just a part of the culture. It was a part of the custom. We didn't have to run around shouting, "I am my brother's keeper." You just kept him. My belief is that if you have to put something into a law, you don't really believe in it.
So what you saying?
What I'm saying is that if African Americans specifically, but Africans all over the world, are going to get back to some semblance of rediscovering who we are as human beings, we have to reevaluate and study culture and custom. And we have to do it in a way that's relevant to us, as a people, as African people, people of African descent. We can't just pussyfoot around with it anymore. We can't dance around it anymore. We have to start looking at custom and culture, keeping your word, as you just said. It wasn't a situation where, and you were expected to keep it in Africa. You were expected to. There was no, if you did it, you went against culture.
What you're saying is true, because when I was in Africa, you go to the marketplace and you go there with money and you're eager to buy a lot of stuff that you're not accustomed to getting in the United States. So one thing I remember going to a marketplace when I was there with my brother Samila, we go to a marketplace and I see something that I like, but I didn't want to commit myself to that piece of merchandise, whether it be a leather bag, whether it be anything, or a piece of art, because I wanted to see what other vendors had.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I told him, I'll be back. I'll be back. And my brother put me to the side. Brother Samaya said, are you really going to come back? I said, oh, no, I just told him that because, you know, just to tell him anything. He said, those people expect you to come back. We don't do that over here. If you say you're going to be back, you're going to be back. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to buy, you say you don't want to buy, and then they'll probably try to negotiate with you. But, and that's the difference in culture. And so what Wayman is saying is true. We take things very literal. If someone says they're going to be back, they're going to be back. You know what I'm saying? So that has been used time and time again. But I don't want us to get separated from what we're talking about. Because essentially what we're talking about is be Christian, but be careful. And I really want to talk about the relationship between Black people and Christianity.
Well, I think that you have to talk about custom and culture when you're talking about dealing with Christianity, because it is an issue of a doctrine versus something that's just natural to us. Our spirituality was the basis for Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But you're talking about three groups of people that went and took our method of spirituality and it transformed it into a religion that they really, based on the spirituality that they really didn't understand, and they went ahead and sold it back to us and enslaved us through it.
So you're saying, to be fair, I shouldn't just say be Christian, but be careful. I should say be Jew, but be careful when we're talking about Black people. Be Muslim, but be careful.
But be careful. All because of those
you're
things.
Saying all three of those religions were a part, in some part, of some kind of Holocaust that, you know,
all of those religions,
Black folks or African
absolutely.
People.
All of those religions, in some way, shape, or form, turned on African people.
Okay. Well, I would maybe take it a little step further, because I'll just tell you a little bit about my journey through the religions, because it's kind of a winding road. I do remember specifically though, when I was about 12. I remember, you know, constantly being asked. I would go to church every Sunday. You know, I'm seeing everybody just like falling out, acting the fool, you know, supposedly getting the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess there's something wrong with my soul, or my spirit is defective, or maybe I'm going to hell because I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything close to what these people are saying I'm supposed to be feeling. And it made me feel like it was something wrong with me because my spirit could not connect to the theatricality that Christianity basically is, and you know, it has become. So I remember I was about 12. Every Sunday I would be asked, when are you going to get baptized? When are you going to get baptized? And I'm saying to myself, you know, you don't want to die and haven't been baptized. This automatically means you're going to go to hell. And I'm saying, like, I'm 12. What did I do in 12 years, that's a guaranteed ride to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get it. But I got so tired of being asked that question. I just went ahead and, you know, and did it. I was like, yeah, fine. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ and be baptized. So go Peer through. Pressure. Yeah. Unbelievable. So I go through this, get baptized. And then the next set of questions were, well, how do you feel now that you've been baptized? And I'm thinking to myself, I feel like I just got dunked in some water because that's really all that happened. This spiritual transformation.
You could have got baptized at Wild Waves.
Exactly.
Messed up, man.
They're going to start doing baptisms at Wild Waves.
This is messed up, too.
I mean, like, everybody out of the pool. We got baptism hour from 4 to 5. You know. But, these brothers here are just, they're just enjoying this today. But anyway, so I'm thinking, okay, I feel like I just got dunked into some water. This huge spiritual transformation that everyone kept telling me I needed to expect that I was supposed to expect, that I was supposed to feel once, you know, that I was supposed to feel afterward, did not happen. So again, I'm thinking that there's something wrong with me. I'm not understanding that this is blind allegiance to a doctrine that doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. And because I was even then more of a spiritual person than I was into organized religion, the problem was all of that nonsense was in conflict with who I was as a spiritual being. So I rejected, you know, I mentally rejected that and just went through the motions. And then not long after my uncle joined the Nation of Islam, I started studying Islam, because that was the first time, I remember the first time I heard Minister Farrakhan speak, because my uncle had all these tapes and stuff. That's the first time I had ever heard anyone talk about how black people were not wretches. We were not despicable people, that we came from greatness, that everything that exists in the world is because we are. And I never heard anyone up until that point say that. So I latched on to Islam like it was nobody's business. But then, you know, there were some things that came out just in dealing with the people who call themselves practicing Islam. Hypocrisy. Disrespect, misogyny, chauvinism. So I'm saying to myself, well, this isn't going to work either. And look, I bought a Quran. I prayed 5 times a day. I mean, like, I really, like, I mean, at 13, I immersed myself in that because it made me feel good to connect to something that reaffirmed who I was as a black person.
So it seems like this whole Kim Davis thing, with her refusal to sign the same-sex marriage licenses, and the support that she's gotten from the black Christian community, mm-hmm. really encourages us and challenges us to look at the relationship that we have with our religions.
Absolutely.
As black yeah. people.
It absolutely does, because, you know, once I, you know, the Islam thing didn't work out, I just had to sit there, and along the way I came into African spirituality and realized that the problem was that I was trying to access the creator within me through a bunch of intermediaries that were not only just as flawed as I was, even more flawed. We're talking about ex-pimps and ex-drug dealers who just figured out that the church is ain't nothing but a legitimate hustle. And I didn't want any part of that. So I don't have any respect for anyone that will blindly follow a religion that basically said that as a black person, you are lower than a dog. That is your position in life, and that is what you are to expect. And for you to expect anything better than that makes you a fool. So yeah, when you, as that same individual, say, well, I support Kim Davis's right to use the Bible as a foundation for her refusal to sign a marriage license. Well, please understand, again, Christianity was also used to say that it was all right for you to be a slave. Absolutely. And you haven't addressed that yet.
Well, again, piggybacking that too, yeah, remember, spirituality being real and religion being a formation of man, nearly everything that's man-made has some sort of defect. If you create a religion out of someone else's spirituality that you didn't understand in the first place, mm-hmm. and then have the gall, the unmitigated audacity to say, I am the chosen people. Now, if God is kind and God is merciful and God has no stepchildren, you're not going to choose one over the other. So if you're saying he's chosen one group of people over another, guess what? You just made God a bigot. And you're making him ungodly. If you create another religion out of someone else's spirituality that you didn't really understand in the first place, as is the case of Islam, and say, mine is the true faith. So you're saying someone else's faith is false. If you create yet another religion out of someone else's spirituality that you didn't understand in the first place, and then, as in the case of Christianity, have the nerve to say, my religion gives me the right to enslave you. Because you're an infidel. You just made God an accessory to murder. Bottom line, get mad. Don't get mad, get smart, prove me wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. That right there is powerful, and that said.
Hold on, man. I'm going to need him to break that down one more time for us.
Okay. Again, You created three religions out of someone else's spirituality that you did not understand in the first place. In the one case, in the case of Judaism, you said, I am the chosen people. Again, if God is kind, merciful, has no stepchildren, you're not choosing one people over the other. So if he's elevated one group of people above all others, you made him a bigot. Is it the case of Islam? If you say, mine is the true faith, so you're saying someone else's faith is false. In the Christianity, if you say my religion gives me the right to enslave you because you're an infidel and outside of God's grace, you just made God an accessory to murder.
And this is why, honestly, you know, there's been such an uptick in people who are declaring themselves atheists. And you sit there and say, now, look, I believe that there's too much out there in the world, too much out there in the universe for you to even fix your lips to say such a thing. That being said, I understand why an atheist has the perspective that he has, because you're looking at all these religions. And again, how dare you, in your infinite arrogance, claim that you have all the answers? There are billions of people on this planet, and you know what? All of us have our own ideas about the same subjects. Sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't. That doesn't necessarily make me right and you wrong, but that doesn't make, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean the opposite either. But these people are looking at how these folks are, you know, these wars, all this conflict, it's been over religion. Because spirituality would tell you that you need to respect a man's right to be who he is and believe as he chooses to believe, no matter what. You don't have to agree with it and you don't have to share it. And I'm going to say something controversial right here. I don't care about the Klan. They don't care about me. But you know what? They have a right not to give a damn about me. And I have a right not to give a damn about them. It's not up to me to say, well, you need to acknowledge my humanity. You need to respect me. No, you don't have to. That being said, it is up to me to decide how I deal with the manner in which you disrespect me, should it come to that. Because I'm not going to have someone tell me that I have to respect something that feels out of order to my spirit. And that's for me, that's what a lot of this organized religion is about. You're basically saying that we're all right and we're all cool as long as we believe the same thing. But when you get a different idea about something, that's when the conflict comes in. And that's not right.
See, and this is why there has to be a reorganized effort to basically make this stuff relevant to you. Dr. John Henry Clark was fond of saying, everything that touches your life politically, spiritually, economically, socially, must be an instrument of your liberation, or you must throw it into the ash can of history. When Africans challenged Rome on their interpretation of Christianity, they had to get after them. When Arab Muslims came to West African empires like Mali, Ghana, Songhai, they had to get on the Arab Muslims because it's like, you're not observing the faith properly. Because you know us, we're the true believers. We always have been. We out-pope the Pope and we out-Muhammad Muhammad. That's just what we do. So anytime you're going to take, if you're going to take Christianity, Islam, Judaism, anything, make them relevant to you.
So I'm going to go ahead and pop in as the educator in this. And I'm going to put both y'all on the spot.
Okay.
Because we want to bring it back to Kim Davis and the outlook that she has as a white Christian and the support that she's gotten from black Christians about these, her refusal to sign same-sex marriages. So, listeners, I need you to deal with me. I'm going to go into education mode. So I'm going to ask them a question. I'm going to give them 10 seconds of think time.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to hold them to that 10 seconds.
Oh, boy.
And I know y'all are people of instant gratification. You're very impatient, but you can wait for 10 seconds. So I'm going to ask them this question. I want you to script a letter live on Speak On It podcast. And the letter starts, dear black Christians, I'm going to give you 10 seconds of think time. And I want you to respond. This is how talented these brothers and sisters are. I'm telling you, I surround myself by talented people. Wayman Earls and Kamiko Thomas are two of the most intelligent and articulate people. So I'm giving them 10 seconds to speak on a live vocal letter of Dear Black Christians. 1-1,000. 2-1,000. 3-1,000. 4-1,000. 5-1,000. 6-1,000. 7-1,000. 8-1,000. 9-1,000. And the incredible 10-1,000. Ladies first, Miss Thomas.
Okay.
Dear Black Christians.
Dear Black Christians, I am going to paraphrase Brother Malcolm here when he asks the question, who taught you to hate yourself? Who taught you that your own spirituality was an abomination, was something for you to be ashamed of, was something for you to look at as voodoo or some sort of summoning the devil, conjuring the devil kind of practice? Who taught you that? Yet here most of you are blindly following a woman who, in all likelihood, because please keep in mind, KKK calls themselves a Christian organization. And as she's a white woman who has a problem with homosexuality, it could stand to reason that she also has a problem with black people, while you are blindly supporting this woman. And I understand, because overall, African Americans have not been the most accepting of homosexual lifestyles in and of itself. So you don't understand. So you think that supporting her is basically saying that I agree with her stance against homosexuality, but you don't understand that it's being looped into the Christian narrative. And again, the Christian narrative is the same narrative that said that it is okay, that it was okay for our ancestors to be raped and beaten and spat on and disrespected and treated the way that most people wouldn't treat a dog on the street. That is what you have signed up to blindly follow, to blindly pledge your allegiance to. So, my dear Black Christians, if you just insist that Christianity is the thing for you to follow as opposed to the spirituality created by the people whose DNA lies in your very soul, if you still have to do that, can you please be a little bit more mindful of the battles that you choose to fight? Sincerely, your sister, Kameko.
Dear Black people, if you understand any relevant semblance of history, you understand that Christianity, as well as the other two, were in some way, shape, or form used to enslave your people, and they are enslaving us spiritually now. The Arabs had no illusions about it. The European had no illusions about it. We are the ones with the illusion. Why is it that we are so naive that you let somebody redress something that you created, sell it back to you, and enslave you through it? Who taught us that? I hate to say it, it looks like Kameko and I were on the same page. Who made our own culture, custom, history, spirituality irrelevant to us? I plead to you, my Black Christian brothers and sisters, reevaluate the faith that you practice so fervently. Create a liberation Christianity. And if you're going to create a liberation Christianity, then you have to reevaluate your relationship with the people who taught you that. You have to start looking at things from historical, cultural, and cultural and customary aspect. It is the only way that we can be who we're supposed to be. I plead with you, make this relevant to you. I'm not saying do not have a spiritual being to whom you are accountable. I'm saying that everything that touches your life, especially spiritually, must be an instrument of your liberation. Sincerely, your brother in arms, Wayman Earls III.
Dear Black Christians, I see you out there. Y'all supporting Kim Davis. A lot of y'all. Too many of y'all. And I say, be Christian. But be Christian. But be careful. And I say that because the same doctrine that she uses to justify her refusal to sign same-sex marriages is the same doctrine that was used to enslave you. It's the same Christianity that has people saying, it doesn't matter what Jesus looks like. He's a spirit. And if it doesn't matter what he looks like, then why y'all show him white? If it doesn't matter, that should tell you why Black Lives Matter. Because he looked like me. If Jesus was on the shores of West Africa during that time when Columbus was rounding up people on the good ship Jesus, he'd be on the ship picking crops. It said that his hair was that of lamb's wool. His feet were that of burned brass. So dear Black Christians, I say this to you. Be Christian, but be careful. Y'all got a civil war going on. Because the same Christians that you support back in the day, those were the same Christians that enslaved you. Sincerely, respectfully, I love you. Because Christianity has brought a lot of y'all out of depths of darkness. It's been a torch. Respectfully, logic, amen. Be Christian, but be careful. And on that note, we out. Speak on the podcast. Out of here.
Yeah. Peace.
Peace.
Bonus feature. P.S. Postscript. I thought we was done. We ain't done. I'm lying. Wait a minute. Speak on it.
Even in my youth, as an adolescent, I had questions. Even before I read the book Black Christian Nationalism by Reverend Albert Cleage. Very good book. How was God relevant? Was God even relevant to the Black liberation struggle? How did God and Jesus, how did you balance being a Christian? Because like you, Kameko, I had an issue. I couldn't get up and do all the dances and praise Jesus. It just didn't move me, and it made me question so much about myself, because my mother had always told me my father never had a relationship with God, and he died without having one, and I feared deathly dying without that relationship. But I, to this day, I found it hard to balance being a Christian with being a Pan-African nationalist.
Because honestly, I think when it comes to that, those two terms are mutually exclusive. You can't be Christian and be Pan-Africanist, because in order to liberate, in order to advocate for your people, in order to say, hey, look, the stuff that's been done to you was wrong, and all this praying for forgiveness, and you know, you got to love all your enemies and all that, you're loving people who are spitting in your face. You're loving people, you're forgiving. As an example, when Dylann Roof went to that church and killed those nine people. Mm-hmm. And now, we're not even talking about the fact, as sick as it was, that he went in there knowing that he was going to do that and sat alongside them and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Then he turned around and murdered those same people that he had just finished praying with.
That sounds like American history to me.
Okay, so... Now, I remember seeing a news clip where this boy standing here, you know what they say, you know, he looked like he gave no F's. Okay. He didn't seem like, oh, yeah, I kind of, maybe I should have thought better of that. No, no, no. Emotionless, expressionless.
No remorse.
He did not care at all. And then I hear this woman crying because he just took someone that she cared about saying, I forgive you. And I said to myself, well, let me tell you something. You are a much better person than I could ever possibly be, because had that been someone that I cared about, had that been, God forbid, Lord help you, anyone come near my daughter, you had better take me out first.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring her back full circle, man. Like, if Kim Davis was black, because Kim is a black name. I know some.
That's why I thought she was black.
I know some Kamekos.
I thought. Look, I thought I saw the hashtag on Twitter. So I really thought she was black.
So listen, let me bring this to you. What if Kim Davis was black, and she refused to sign a same-sex marriage certificate for two same-sex black people? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is, there would have been some sort of statute they would have found that would have removed her from her position and stuck an interim person in that position until the next election. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, she would have been viewed and talked of as if she were being a tool for white supremacy, because here she is oppressing people who look like her and denying them the right to marry and do whatever it is that, you know, they think that, you know, a marriage certificate is supposed to do for them. That's the difference.
I think if Kim Davis is a black woman and the same sex couple is black, we don't have a news story.
No, I think we
Kim,
do.
No,
we
Kim,
do.
Kim
oh, absolutely. Just a difference. Just a
no,
different
Kim
news story.
Signing that. If she's black, Kim signing that.
I don't.
Kim signing the certificate.
I think so.
I don't know, because you have to, here's the way I look at it. I think mainstream, let me tell you this. I think that mainstream media has created this narrative that says that collectively African Americans are more accepting of the gay right to marriage than we actually are. That'd be the first thing. So I personally don't think that she would, you know, were she black and these were black people, I don't think she would have signed it. I think that if they had been a white couple, she might have. But I think that if she were black and this were a black couple, I don't think she would have. And I believe she would have cited the same reasons. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
You think if she was black, she would not have signed it?
If she were black and the couple were black.
No, I don't believe that. No, I don't. I can't believe that.
This is one of those few instances where I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you, brother, because the way I see it, because you have to understand, God, sisters, forgive me for saying this, you have to understand the way white supremacy has also affected black women. So she would have been filtering this through a completely different lens as a black woman expecting to sign a marriage certificate for, let's just say, if it were two black males. She definitely ain't doing that.
No, if it were two black males, that's not gonna fly. If it's a black man and a white man, interracial couple, black male, that's a black male, white male, that's not happening.
I'm gonna go ahead and hold y'all to that. I'm gonna put this on Facebook right now. I'm gonna put the post out. If Kim Davis was a black woman, would she sign the marriage certificate for a same-sex couple who was black?
No. Unequivocally, no, she would not. Number one, she would have cited her faith, and she also would have said, gone the extra mile and said, I'm not going to hell for you. And then she would say something about the Bible. The Bible's laws and man's laws don't have anything to do with each other, and I'm not going to disrespect my faith because this is my job.
I disagree, man. Black people have been conditioned culturally throughout the years to be service people. We've been told to be docile. We've been told to dim our light. We've been told to dumb ourselves down by our ancestors, and that has been good for us in some context. We've been told to do what they tell you to do, because it could mean the end of your life. I think if Kim Davis was a black woman and the couple was black, she would sign it because she wants a job. She needs a job.
I'll agree with that only, and that's the only reason she would sign it if she were inclined to do so. She would have her own personal views, and she'd probably be staring daggers into the eyes of these couples as she's signing that document, but that would be the only reason she would be signing the document, is to protect her job if she had a family.
I don't think so. I don't think that's the only reason. I think if Kim Davis was a black woman and she saw two same-sex couples and they were black, I think she would see people that look like her uncle, her cousin, her grandfather, and say, rent it together. I'm going to sign this because even though you are homosexual, even though you're lesbian, you're gay or whatever, that I know that you face the oppression and discrimination that comes with being black, and that is the commonality that's going to precede everything, and that's going to inspire me to sign this document.
Well, let me tell you again why I disagree with that, because you have gay black males, and this is a story that came out about a week or so ago. A gay black male has a better shot of getting hired than a heterosexual black male with more education. Simply because...
Is that true?
Well, I mean, that's what the article said. Simply because there is no one is looking at the gay black man as a threat. But a heterosexual black male, especially one who is confident in who he is, well, that's not someone that's going to be quite so amenable to certain suggestions. I think there's this belief, whether it's justified or not, that if you are already dipping your toe into that water, so to speak, then, you know, your morality and your allegiance is going to be more so toward your sexuality and less toward the racial politics of the racial realities that we currently face. So I think were Kim Davis a black woman and there was a homosexual black male couple that came to her and said, well, we need this marriage certificate sign, I believe that she would refuse because she would understand. And this, of course, is predicated on her having some sort of cultural, spiritual understanding as well. I got to throw that out there. I think she would look at it and go, well, first of all, I know that your primary allegiance, your primary identification isn't as a black male. It is as a gay male who just so happens to be black, which means that your actions are going to be filtered through that lens. So you're not going to talk about this being discrimination because you're black. You're going to be talking about this being discrimination because you are gay.
I now am at slight odds with your view, Kameko, because you're talking about, you put in the added ingredient, if she had some level of consciousness. Now, on an average, sisters, brothers across the country, what percentage of them are really conscious?
Not nearly on the as level. Many as they like to believe.
So let's say the average sisters, please forgive me, but let's be real. The average sister, she's going to have more of a problem with that because that's another brother that's being taken away.
Yeah.
And she that, but she'll sign it to protect her job.
Okay, I see what you're saying. If for no other reason, she will look at these folks and hope that if she stares at them hard enough, their heads will explode. But she's not going to want the attention that that white Kim Davis is getting right now. She's not going to want that. She's not going to want to deal with the drama. And at the end of the day, she's going to say to herself, it's not worth all
that. I disagree. I think if Kim Davis was black, it would expose the truth of the matter that black people put race before anything else. And she would sign it because she would see herself. She would see one of her family members. Let's be clear. In every black family, there's a crackhead.
There's an alcoholic.
And there's a homosexual. not to say a crackhead and a homosexual are the same people.
Yes, please.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Just like in every black family.
This isn't menace to society.
Just like in every black family, there's a Mike. There's a Michael. There's a Tanisha. You know what I'm saying? But she would see someone in her family and be like, you know what? You battle with a lot from being black. I'm going to go ahead and sign this. It's not about your sexuality. I'm going to go ahead and sign this.
I think you're giving our people way too much credit. I said it. You're giving our people far too much credit. I think this sister is going to look at this from her own
lens. That's cold, Wayman.
That's cold, but it's honest. She's going to look at this from her own lens. She'll hate every moment that the pen has to touch the paper. She'll sign it to protect her job, to feed her family, whatever she's doing.
Then,
you know?
Then you said it. She'll sign it.
But listen up. But she will hate every minute of it.
No, she will sign it.
But I'm also underlying the reasons why she'll sign it. You're just blanket saying she'll sign it. You're thinking there's going to be this altruism. I understand the struggle. And that's BS. I'm sorry. I'm going to put it out there. No. She's going to look at this mother pus bucket. I wish I could put my hand through this glass cage and give you the 5-point palm exploding heart technique.
She won't do it to protect her job and to protect her finances.
You're giving our people way too much credit. We all have some area in our life where we judge. And a lot of sisters would look at that and be like, you, but that's a brother that could be feeding taking care of a black family and taking care of a sister. She's going to be looking at it from that lens. I guarantee you, an average sister.
And I will go ahead and be naive. I'll say I'm ignorant to a certain degree, which means to ignore. But I don't know any instances to ignore. I don't know any instances of black people gay bashing other black men and the fact that they're beating up other gay black people. Okay, seriously, I'm putting that out there not to say that I'm trying to be right. I'm just trying to learn. If it's out there, let me know.
Have you heard of Terry McMillan? Okay, have you heard of the sisters especially upset with these brothers, you know, who are on the low, who build these families with them and don't even let them know that they got this other brother on the side who they're butt-banging?
I'm talking about beating them down. I just think that black people draw the line. And, you know, it might be me being naive. Seriously, I really feel like black people draw the line. If it comes to a point where a gay black brother or sister is going to lose their rights because of their sexuality, I think that black people draw the line and be like, if I'm going to support them and them, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I might just be naive in that. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and just give me a minute because I'm going to tell y'all a little story. I used to watch this show on Showtime called The Tudors. You know, this, you know, story about Henry VIII. Of course, played by a dude that, you know, Henry VIII was, you know, fat and ugly. This dude, not so much. But in any case, so, you know, it came to the part where Henry wanted the divorce from, I think it was Catherine of Aragon. And, you know, the church wasn't going to grant it. So he basically decided that he was going to make himself the head of the church so he could do whatever it was that he wanted to do. And part of that was basically getting people to sign this document saying that they accepted him as the God, you know, Lord, you know, as in that prayer. So, and there was a, you know, of course we know this is fictionalized, but there was a part where his daughter Mary initially refused to sign it because she was like, you are a king, but that does not make you God. And I'm not going to betray my conscience in order to stroke your ego. But then it got to the point where she understood that her father, even though he was the king, if she didn't bow down, she was going to be out on her butt.
Best case scenario.
You know, best case scenario. Worst case, she would have ended up like her mother. So she signed it. But as she got ready to sign it, she prayed for forgiveness because she knew what she was doing was
exactly
wrong. She knew that she was betraying her conscience. At the same time, self-preservation being the first law of nature, she wasn't going to sit here and risk the guillotine behind someone else's politics. Mm-hmm. So this issue becomes very convoluted because, yes, there is how you feel about it personally. There's how you feel about it spiritually. And you do question, am I betraying my personal beliefs? Am I betraying my spirituality by signing off on something that I know personally, according to my beliefs, my God is not okay with? And that's a very legitimate question. So to say that it's something that someone should just dismiss, you know, it's oversimplifying things just a bit. So that being said, as far as if Kim Davis were a black woman, again, because she's not going to, you know, risk losing a home or a car, not being able to feed her children behind what somebody else wants to do, I think, yeah, she probably would sign it, again, with the understanding that this is a job. No one is telling me that I have to marry somebody that I don't want to marry. So
I hate to cut you off, man. Black people have been known to just, you know, take the higher road and look at it like this is a job. You know, I've already historically belittled myself to the servitude of black people, of white people, and this is what I need to do to bring home a paycheck. Mm-hmm. We were able to make that distinction.
Yeah.
And I think this whole situation with a white Kim Davis, the mm-hmm. actual Kim Davis, mm-hmm. it really shows white privilege.
Yeah.
Because many times black people know the reality of white privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know that we don't have that. Absolutely. So we'd be like,
we don't have that.
And so if Kim Davis was black, it wouldn't even be a news story. She would just sign anything. But you know why? Because her ancestors, her grandfather, have told her, you work twice as hard to make it half as far.
Mm-hmm. And you don't you go around sign, and buy white folks
you
like that.
Sign it. You do make your freaking no job. And if you really want to tell us how you really feel, you do it in a barbershop, you do it in a beauty salon, you do it in a church, you do it in the privacy of your home.
Make or, no waves.
Or I'll say it like this, or start your own business, become the employee. Become the employer instead of the employee, and you can have whatever personal views you would like to have, and anybody that doesn't like that doesn't have to work for you.
Because in many sense, what we're saying, no disrespect, white world doesn't matter. That's where we go to code switch. That world doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is when we go home to our beauty salons, our barbershops, and our church. Mm-hmm. And our community and our personal homes and our collectives and our community centers, that's what matters. When we go to work, that's not really us. That's why you can make an argument that multiple personality disorders, depression, all kind of PTSD disorders exist in the black community because we shut ourselves off when we go into that white world. We do not perform the same way. We say, this is for them, this is not for us. That's why if Kim Davis was black, she would already know. When I go to work, I'm not black.
We make these compromises.
Well, I think it was Dr. Dubois who said something about us having that double consciousness. You know, that person that we are in public versus that person that we are in private. And sometimes those two things don't mesh up because it's not safe for us to be in public who we are in private. And for the most part, even today, that's still very true.
Carter G. Woodson touched a little on it as well in The Miseducation of the Negro. This dual personality that we have in order to function in white settings, professional settings, educational settings, etc. it's a dangerous thing, but it's even more dangerous to fail, be exposed for what you really are, and be shunned and unable to earn a living. It's why some sort of Pan-African nationalist doctrine is necessary, in my opinion, because you have to build your own. One of the worst things with regards to integration was that we ignored and cast aside black institutions that would have been useful, even with the onset of integration.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, to put it in a nutshell, and if this is a gross oversimplification of the issue, please forgive me, but it's real simple. White supremacy is why the actual white Kim Davis refused to sign it. Mm-hmm. And white supremacy is the same reason that black Kim Davis would sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because
wow. That's real. It's the foundation of white privilege, you know, or the complexion for the protection, as Paul Mooney so eloquently puts it. White people have that protection, so they can put themselves out there and take a principled stand and not have to worry about, you know, their livelihood being destroyed.
Exactly. White Kim Davis knows this is an argument within her own household.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to y'all?
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
She's having an argument with her own household, with her own family members. She knows going to jail is just protocol. It's just a matter of procedure. She knows she's going to get out. She knows when she's released from going to jail that she'll have options. She'll have alternatives. You know why? Because she has a support group that is white. That is just as abundant as the people who defy her, who are white. So when black people jump on the bandwagon with Kim Davis and say, I understand why she did what she did, it's more of her supporters. What you really need to ask yourself is, if this was a black issue, if this was a cultural issue or ethnic issue, where would white Kim Davis stand? That's where you need to have your allegiance. And that's what I look at it. No, and I grant it, I've posted about this. You don't treat this woman mean. I don't even agree with sending her to jail because it makes her a martyr. It exposes her white privilege. She knows this is just a procedure and a protocol. Do you know how much this woman makes?
What?
Brace yourself.
How much?
This woman makes $80,000 a year.
Just to sign things.
Just
no, I'm not gonna reduce it. That we can do that
but
to be.
But
we can do that. We can do that for satire. To be cynical. Hold on. We can say she makes $80,000 to sign things. I make what I make. I'm not gonna put that on air. But I can assume, and I can theorize with logic that what I make is more than hers, but my job is harder than hers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's
still going to make her $80,000. She can't get fired. She can only resign because she's an elected official. So she's dealing with people in her own household. She's in Kentucky. She's dealing with people that look like her. So even when she disagrees with those people, she's still going to be around people that say, she protects my interests. That's huge. That's what makes a black Kim Davis different than a white Kim Davis. That's when black people support her and say, I support her, this, that, and the third. Be Christian, but be careful.
Well, you also have to keep this in mind, too. The reason that a black Kim Davis wouldn't even bother is that you know invariably, whether it's a black person or a white person doing this, someone is going to say to her, I would think you'd be one of the first people who know what it's like to be discriminated against. So I don't I don't even understand why you have that perspective.
Exactly.
Well, I have that perspective because number one, these two things are not the same, and to conflate these issues is extremely disrespectful to me as a black woman, and it's especially disrespectful to my ancestors who endured things that you will not ever have to know what that's like just because you are gay. Okay, let's just go ahead and put that out there. Those two things, you cannot compare those things because they are incomparable. Mm-hmm. They really are. So let's not do that. It's just the idea that it's used as a form of emotional manipulation to get you to betray your conscience on issues that are important to you spiritually. And in addition to that, you have the, of course, well, I don't have to, you know, white Kim Davis has support. She's a martyr. I mean, she would probably end up, you know, getting a show on Fox or you know, some sort of
kicking it with Sean Hannity,
you know, or something like that. okay, black Kim Davis has to worry about a recall election, in which she will more than likely
lose her seat
behind that. So it's multi-layered and it's extremely complex because, yeah, the race factors into it, even though it's still under the umbrella of white supremacy, because white supremacy would handle black Kim Davis and white Kim Davis two completely different ways on the exact same issue. And no one, and white, you know, current Kim Davis doesn't have to worry about anyone, you know, pulling that, you ought to know what it's like to be discriminated against because, you know, because of what your ancestors have endured. She doesn't have to worry about that. But that's something that I've noticed, that when white people want you to bow down to something that you personally have an issue with, that is the first thing that comes out of their mouths. I thought that you, of all people,
would understand
because of what your ancestors have endured. How can you be insensitive to the suffering of others? How are you suffering because someone won't sign a piece of paper for you to do what you were already doing?
I want to go back to this black support of Kim Davis and speak on the idiocy of it. In 2006, when former President George Bush was initiating immigration reform with regards to Hispanics in America, there was a white group known as the Minutemen who opposed this. There was an uncomfortable number of black people who actually jumped on this bandwagon and supported this. Here we are, a group of people of color who were trying to make a living in this country, being paid just above slave wages. And never mind the old saying, bring me your poor, your tired, your wretched masses yearning to be free. We all know what a hypocrisy that is, but that's another discussion. But the bottom line is, you had black people supporting an asinine cause with regards to the Minutemen and going against people who, you know, on and off have been allies in the struggle for liberation, justice, and freedom. I won't say equality. I just don't think that whites are the criteria or yardstick by which equality is measured. That's just me.
Well, yeah, just to piggyback on that a little bit, that's the African American's number one problem. Well, okay, white supremacy being the ultimate problem. Let's go ahead and get that straight. But the other issue is, and I've had this conversation with people throughout the years, is that everything that we do is based on making white people the standard. They are the standard for our behavior. They are the standard for our progress, what success looks like, what it doesn't look like. All of that is, because in case you hadn't noticed, it's all about how much you have. I even think Donald Trump said a while back, money tells the score of the game. So that's the standard by which success is judged. Not, you know, are you in good health? Is your family secure? You know, are you doing work that's meaningful and makes you want to get out of bed in the morning? And let's, you know, and if you do those things, the financial abundance that you need in order to continue being successful in that realm will find you. But no, it is the pursuit of the dollar at all costs. And he who has the most toys in the end wins. And that is a white supremacist construct that we bow down to. So when you look at it from that perspective, again, black Kim Davis is saying to herself, I'm getting paid $80,000 a year. I don't have to do anything backbreaking. I don't really have to do anything. I mean, I have people help me keep my paperwork in order to be sure that things aren't misfiled and misplaced. You know, and not only that, I am the authority when it comes to whether or not certain things in this county get done. Am I really going to risk the position?
Mm-mm. Jeopardize that?
Am I going to, to risk being looked at as the HNIC behind some gays wanting to get married? No, indeed. Mm-mm. Because maybe in my family, having this position makes me the star, makes me the success. Maybe I'm maybe that's the reason I get the big piece of chicken. You know,
but that's real.
And do you really think
I'm gonna jeopardize that over two guys that want to be legalized,
get married while you're bungee jumping or kamikaze skydiving or whatever it is? But all I know is, I'm the man up in this piece. Okay,
that's real talk.